Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hi, this is Jonathan Marcus. It's good to be here. I live in Fairfield, Connecticut, and we as a company manufacture season-baked flour tortillas that are breakable to make your own chips and crackers. Our original seasoning is actually based on my grandmother's recipe, so it's a family thing. So, and the company's based in Bridgeport, Connecticut. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So I guess I'm curious, right? Like, it's one thing to have a family recipe, and many people do, but like, what made you want to start this business?
That's a really good question. So I had had a career in consumer financial services for 30 years, and I was doing some independent consulting and a little bit of investing. And I got to the point where I honestly just needed something desperately different to do. And I really wasn't sure what that was. You know, I was really a bit lost. And, you know, this, what we make, again, I grew up with. So my grandmother had her original version of it. My mom and my aunt, who are the Rose sisters, you know, they kind of what they say they perfected it. But, you know, I grew up with it. And we would give these out at parties and as gifts, and you know, we still had them at the family tables. So, and no matter what we did, people said, you really need to sell this, like it's that good. And you know, you appreciate hearing that, but we politely dismissed it because really everybody's nice when it's free, right? So but now, after a 30-year career and wanting to do something different, you know, we brought them to a party again and someone said those words, and this time it resonated. So I kind of looked at my wife and I said, well, what do you think? You know, what should we do? And she's like, well, we're certainly not going to do anything without talking to your mom. So we called my mom and kind of told her what we were thinking. And she's like, let's try. Yeah. So we whipped up a batch and we brought them to a local market around the corner from where we live in a Ziploc bag and a little sticker with our logo on it saying, you know, do you mind putting these out for your customers? We just want real honest to goodness feedback from consumers on, you know, one, do they like it? And two, would they pay for it? And he's like, no problem. So we put it out and we didn't really expect to hear anything, you know, back from him anytime soon. So we kind of, in our minds, put it aside and kind of went on with our lives. And at 7 o'clock the next morning, on the nose, no joke, he calls saying, we're ready to buy. And we're like, amazing. What are you talking about? He's like, people devoured them. We're in, you know, count us as your first customer. So literally in that moment, it became a real thing. And I ended up basically firing all the clients I had. You know, we said as a family, let's go figure out how to make this stuff, you know, in a commercial environment. Let's design a website and some packaging. And 3 months later, we were rocking and rolling. And it just kind of hasn't stopped from there. So it was, it was definitely not an intended thing from the start, but it grew into kind of a really fun story.
Yeah. I mean, I can speak firsthand. Like, you sent me some and I tried it and I couldn't stop eating. It's a really, really good product. So.
Well, I'm glad you got it. No, you have to try it, right? I mean, it really is a unique thing. And so, listen, my grandmother was all about bringing people together and, you know, telling stories and laughing and just really building bonds. And I think that's what she would want from this, you know, that her recipe would just make people happy, you know, especially in times that are pretty tough. And yeah, I think this is kind of what we're doing. What drives us.
That's amazing. So in terms of your business today, is it mostly retail or e-commerce? What does that look like?
So we, from the start, really had to decide, are we going to focus on retail or are we going to do direct to consumer? And in our minds, what we said was basically that the fastest way to scale up was through wholesale distribution, you know, really just get into a bunch of markets and get that velocity going. And that's what we did. So, you know, now we're 5 years old now, and I'd say 90% of the business is still wholesale. But what we've learned is that it's really hard. It's really, really, really hard and expensive to build that business in isolation. And so what we've decided this year is that while we will continue to support kind of the wholesale channels, we absolutely want to do more direct to consumer. And, you know, a couple of years ago, we did a really fun promotion with Good Morning America's online assets. And it was really cool. You know, like we sent out a lot of product with really very little promotion. And that was kind of like a trigger for us to say, okay, there's something here. And then we went on QVC a few times, and that was, you know, exponentially more crazy and exciting. So that was enough for us to say, okay, we really need to do some D2C. And that's what we're starting to do as we speak. So we'll hopefully be able to go back on QVC. We're still on QVC.com. We'll probably do another promotion with Good Morning America. And then, you know, we're looking at Amazon to launch there as our first real kind of direct thing. So, you know, hopefully by the end of this year, it'll be maybe 75-25 split. And then we'll see what the future holds.
For sure. So I guess to scale up this D2C, is it more so like influencer plays or running meta ads? Like, what is kind of your focus on scaling up this side of the business?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think we're going to do a little bit of everything. So we've brought on kind of a social media expert, and she runs that whole side of the show. You know, we ourselves personally don't profess to be experts in it. So it's always better to bring someone way smarter on board than yourself. And that's what we did. So she's kind of hit the ground running. We've started running some meta ads, you know, building up a little more activity on our own kind of sites, and doing a little more other advertising out there. So we're going to start with that. We'll see where it goes. Maybe we'll do some traditional kind of streaming ads, and we're not at Super Bowl level quite yet. So yeah, we'll see in a few years if we can handle that one.
But I'm curious, like in terms of positioning, right? Like, who would you say is truly an ideal customer for you?
That one's really hard to answer, man. I'll be honest. People ask us all the time, like, who's your target customer? Literally anyone with taste buds is who we want trying our recipe. It's, you know, if you look at who comes by and buys during like our demos, right? In a market, yeah, you know, we have little kids, you know, 11 stopping by that absolutely love it and, you know, grab at their parents' pants saying, we got to get these, to, you know, the moms and dads, and 80-year-olds who are coming by saying this is like the best thing they've tried and they love the family story. So, and then in terms of like those demographics, you've got anyone who's just a snacker, right? Who wants a healthier option and without losing the taste, to professional chefs, you know? So we got everyone who kind of has a use for it. And the thing is that the product, as you saw, isn't just a chip, right? Like, you're not mindlessly opening a bag of potato chips. It's the whole tortilla, right? Three whole tortillas in a bag. You break them yourself and you're creating kind of your own chips and crackers, and you can use it as a flatbread. And we use it as breadcrumbs, right? On chicken and fish and things like that. So it spans and kind of straddles all these different categories in a single product. So you add that complexity of a product, you know, and its universal appeal, and all of a sudden it's just everybody loves it. So I think as we get bigger, maybe we'll start seeing clusters of, you know, demographic and psychographic groups that, you know, come out in the data. But right now it just really is a very broad canvas.
For sure. So I guess like in terms of chefs, right? Do you have certain channels, like B2B channels of restaurants that you're selling to as well?
We do. So what we've found over the last couple of years is that restaurants and boutiques and vineyards and liquor stores, charcuterie companies, like places like that are finding us through the online B2B portals, like Mabel and Fair. And we get a lot of orders through that. And, you know, we never really intended on going into food service, right? For like the restaurants. But I think what we're seeing is that there might be an opportunity for us to do that and have them buy in bulk. So I don't know that we're going to do that this year. That might be something that we explore next year.
For sure. So what would you say is the biggest challenge that you face overall in the business today?
For us specifically, is scaling. Our process is very labor intense. We knew it would be, and we accepted that. But we're at the point now where there's some pretty sizable opportunities out there that are waiting for us patiently. But the only way that we can service them is for us to automate our process and be able to produce a lot more in, you know, a day's shift. So, you know, we've been exploring that for a little while. You know, what is it that we need to incorporate into our process? Secondly, who is it that really produces that kind of equipment? And, you know, not, I mean, certainly last, but certainly not least, is how do we pay for it? You know, because it's not inexpensive, and it's not like we want to do the whole operation to be automated, you know, out of the gate. I think we're more of the type of people that like to phase it in stages at a time. So this first phase, yeah, again, it's not inexpensive. So we needed to find a way to fund it before we really kind of went, you know, full out on getting it done. So we're at the point now, fortunately, that we can do it. And now we're talking to different engineering groups to help us along.
So it's sort of like building out this custom machine for the product to make sure it's making it exactly how you want it, keeping the quality high and being able to mass produce it so you can sell it, you know, like at a higher level.
Yeah, exactly. So our greatest desire, you know, would be to have this product be appealing to the masses, right? So because essentially we're inefficient, our pricing is a little higher. It's actually still pretty in line with a lot of the larger brands, which is great, but it's still a little higher than we'd like it to be. So as we scale up, we will have the benefit of being able to push some of that savings along the chain and get those prices down. So, you know, but one thing we will absolutely never do is compromise on the quality of the product. And I'll be honest with you, I'm driven on that mostly out of fear, because at some point I'm going to be reunited with my grandmother. And if I screw things up here, I'm going to spend eternity being yelled at and having my ear tugged by my grandmother. So I would like to minimize the likelihood of that ever happening. So even though there are systems out there that will pump through enormous volume of product, but it's junk, you know, and there's just, we'll never do that ever. You know, so it's just like, we will stand fast on quality, and substance, you know, before anything else, no matter what it costs.
Yeah. I mean, that's smart, because your product's great, like, as I mentioned earlier, and it's to, you know, have like a lower quality product that really takes away from this USP of how great it tastes and the ingredients. And those things are really important. So obviously now we're wrapping up Q1 of 2024. So from 2024 is going to be successful for you. What would that look like?
Well, again, you know, our goal this year is to get automated. So the first quarter has been kind of maintaining the relationships that we have with the distributors and still building up the online B2B portal. And that's been going great. You know, that's all good. But, you know, we want to introduce a couple more flavors, a grab and go size kind of for gift baskets and convenience store channels. And that only happens when we can automate. So 24 will be continuing to grow. But I think that proverbial hockey stick growth happens once the new machinery is in place, and we can really rock and roll. So will it happen early this year? It won't. I think, you know, late third quarter is when we should be fully operational. And then just sky's the limit at that point. And, You know, and we're actually starting to look at international markets as well for export. We've been approached by some who also tried the product, and they said it would be great. You know, this should be in Asia. I'm like, okay, so let's look at it. If it makes sense, let's do it. So that 24 is going to be, has been, and will continue to be a pretty crazy year, but it's exciting, and it should be a whole bunch of new things for us. So it's great.
So many companies now are using AI or looking into using AI in their business. So do you guys currently use AI? And if not, where can AI come in and add value to your business?
Yeah, we don't. You know, so I think a lot of founders are young, and I am not. So I don't know that I personally have fully embraced AI for me myself or for the business. I don't know. You know, we're really about that personal touch. And, you know, if somebody emails me, I want to be the one to respond. Like, I don't want some sort of, and listen, I've read some of the AI kind of output, and it's really kind of impressive, but it still wouldn't be me or the team. So I think we're keeping that at arm's length for a while and just stick to that personal, you know, connection. And, you know, there's something about that, you know, like there's, sure. You know, like, I think for me, one of the coolest things is when someone emails us and they felt so compelled to email us to say that they got the chips somewhere, and it's like the best thing they've ever had, you know, that means something to us. And I want to be able to get back to them saying, hey, you know, I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. And, you know, I want you to know it resonated with us, and people appreciate that. You know, they've actually responded saying, I can't believe someone from a company would write back. And we do, you know, for online orders, we handwrite a note of thanks, you know, to everyone for ordering and, you know, for following us. And, you know, for as long as we can do that, we're going to do that, because it's really kind of a special thing that to us that someone would trust their hard-earned money to buy our product. And, you know, we want everyone to know how much we appreciate it.
That's awesome. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
Yeah, well, there's more than one thing, my friend. Yeah, I joke with people and I tell them that I've cried for my mommy more in the last 5 years than I ever have in my entire life. Not, you know, my background isn't in food, right? Like I was in consumer financial services for my whole career. So, I mean, talking about a steep learning curve, I mean, it was just crazy. So but what I've learned is that you really need to be patient. And you need to be pretty hard charging and stick with this, because even if you are, I think, an experienced veteran in this space, it's a pretty hard space, and it takes a lot to get through the clutter and the noise. And we're still trying, you know, so we're still definitely an emerging brand. And the other thing is it takes a lot more money than you hope and expect, you know, and that's from anything. And that's not even advertising or anything like that. It's really just building your brand. It's production, whether you do it yourself or whether you outsource it. It's staffing, it's consultants who you absolutely need to help guide you through this stuff. It's printing materials, it's ordering ingredients, it's, you know, warehousing, I mean, shipping. And during the last 4 years, right, three and a half years, obviously with the supply chain nightmare, everything has gotten way more expensive and a lot lower. And that kind of stuff, you know, you never anticipate. Right. So everything that you learned in business school about breaking even in 3 years and, you know, growth trajectories and margins and stuff like that, I mean, it's just turned on its head. So you need to pivot however you need to pivot and be ready to do it. So, I mean, there there is no one thing I could tell people to, you know, who want to get into this, you know, one thing, don't do this. I mean, there's so many things, so much, but it's intensely exciting. Far exceeds the joy that I had, you know, in my prior career, because food is just really cool. You know, there's no one that doesn't love food, right? I mean, you may have different palates, but in the end, everyone loves food and it's fun to talk about. I think a lot of people are willing to help, and that's really meant a lot to us as well. And it has gotten us through some pretty rough patches. So, I think as long as people have their eyes open about what they're about to jump into, I say go for it. You know,
for sure.
Just hold on tight and, you know, have a great support network, you know, to get you through it.
For sure. Yeah. I think it's a common trend that we hear on this podcast is iterating, pivoting, being relentless, not giving up, because to your point, you're going to have very, very low bad days, but the highs are really high and you just have to keep pushing and eventually that you'll get to where you want to be.
Yep. Yeah. It takes time and they're constant highs and lows, right? I mean, for every high, I mean, there's two or three setbacks, and you just need to know that they're there. It's just part of it. It's not personal. I mean, there are just so many different reasons that you get taken out of the store. I mean, that are just beyond your control, and
right. You
know, it's okay. It's all right. I mean, it doesn't mean that they're not going to take you back at some point. And
right. You
know, it's a big world. There are loads of opportunities for channel growth and development that just keep at it. You know, exactly. It'll happen.
Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media, I guess, best ways to get in contact?
Yeah, sure. Our website is rosesisterschips.com. You can always email us at info@rosesisterschips.com. And our social media, Face and Insta, is Rose Sisters Chips. So we always respond. Feel free. If you need a shoulder to cry on, we've gone through it, so feel free. We'd love to hear from you, and we're here to help any way we can.
Thanks, Jonathan.
What's up?
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. No problem. No, thank happy. You. This is really fun.
Thank you. All right. Thanks again for sending me the package. I really appreciate it.
Now, did you save some for Gossam, or is he shit out a lot?
I ate a good amount of them, but I don't know when he's going to be able to. Yeah, I don't know when he's going to be able to visit, but yeah, for sure. I definitely ate a good amount of them.
Yeah, he said, he's like, yeah, no, I'll see Dan, you know, pretty soon.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right, he's not going to, I don't think he's going to get any, unfortunately. I'll have to reorder. When he comes, I'll for sure place an order, and it's good.
So, well, I mean,
it's good. It's a good product. I really like. I opened it and I was just like sort of eating it. I was like, this is so good, you know, and I was just, it's really good. Yeah.
Did you break it in the bag or did you just kind of start cracking?
I just started cracking away at it. And I was like, I didn't know what to expect. And I'm like, this is an amazing product. So yeah, you definitely got to get like more people to try it. I think once people try it, they'll definitely be coming back to buy more.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, like that was that is and remains a big challenge for us. So because it's such a unique product, like when you see it in the deli, you know, it catches your eye because it's unique in style, and people are attracted to it. But when they look at it, they're like, what is it? Like, what do
exactly,
I do?
Exactly. So if you do like the in-store sampling or like whatever, you know, it's like when somebody tries it, they're like, I have to buy it and I have to buy it again. So,
yeah. And so the store managers, when we do demos, we tell them, you guys, you need to stock up. And they're like, well, yeah, we get the usual amount. I'm like, no. Like, you don't, it's like store managers are always, they always tell us, you know, if you can move 15 units in a demo, like, we'll be pretty psyched. And I'm like, and I tell them, like, dude, if we move 15 units and that's it, we're like suicidal. Like, that's terrible. like in 2 hours in an average store, you know, we'll move 80 to 100 bags. You know, because literally one taste and they're grabbing
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. And so, and they never believe us. So we sell out in 10 minutes and we're like, okay, we got to go because there's nothing left. So the next time they're like, yeah, okay, we get it. But we're Actually, again, this year, we're working really hard to kind of encourage our retailers. Like, we'll send them extra bags and say, just put these out in a bowl and trust me, you're going to sell out.
Are you in like Central Market in Texas?
Yeah, well, I don't know if we're still there. We were there for a long time. So we're working to get back into them.
Got it. Okay.
And then I think we're in a, sorry, you're in Dallas?
In
or
Dallas.
Houston?
Yeah, Dallas.
Dallas. So there's like a couple other places in like smaller boutique-y type, you know, stores that we're in. I'll see if I can get you the names and you tell me if they're
like I'm
close.
Actually moving to Austin in May. So if you're somewhere
in Austin?
In Austin, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I think we have something there too. But
yeah,
you know, like the bigger chains, they're just harder when you're small. You know, they're
yeah,
because so
people
expensive.
Are walking by and they don't, you know, it's hard. I mean, that's a challenge like with retail. It's like what stands out like on the packaging? Why should somebody pick it up, you know, versus
exactly.
Your competitor? So anyways,
yep.
I got to jump off. But Jonathan,
okay.
Thanks again for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, Dan. I really appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you. All right. Bye.
Talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
Bye.